my name is Dave Hanratty and there will be no encore. Welcome back to the show. A marked change of tone this week. We were joined in studio by the one and only ace internet comedian and so much more, of course, Michael Fry.
Hello, thank you for having me back on. Because it's been a while. It was like, what was it? Pre-pandemic when I was on last. So.
It's a long time, actually, as a matter of fact. Sonic Architect Adam is in the room, by the way, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
Happy belated birthday to him.
Thank you very much. I definitely had a birthday recently.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my crisis has started today. Mm-hmm. And there is no end in sight.
Well, you know, the great thing about entering your 30s...
of the crisis.
The great thing about your 30s, Adam, is it only gets worse. So, you know...
Well, that's good to know. It's going to be fine. Definitely will help.
It's going to be fine. Michael Fry.
Yes.
It is true. We meant to get you back on a long time ago and it just didn't happen. As a matter of fact,
yeah,
I have a clip of audio that I cut and kept since April of 2021.
Is this a voice note?
No. This concerns you. So,
oh no, will it concern me?
No. I think you'll appreciate it.
Okay.
So if you could hear this, it's just a measure of your reach within Irish society. So let's have a listen.
So you may may also be off making TikTok videos and getting the talent show to make cameo appearances. That seems exactly like what our third level students need. Mr. Harris, maybe you will be releasing songs in an indie style as well, then to get Michael Fry to duet with him.
So that's a...
Yeah, this is great. I love this because my...
Thomas Pringle in the Dáil.
Yeah.
In Dáil Éireann, in the highest reaches of Irish Parliament, bringing you up in a scolding fashion, having a go at ministers trying to be cool or something.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, it was quite a current reference. This is when I was doing well with the indie covers and stuff. I think I just released the first compilation of them. But what's funny about that is that my little brother was in a PhD workers' rights group and he was like, oh, we got mentioned in the Dáil today. And I went, so was I. And he was like, why the fuck were you mentioned in the Dáil? So just very funny to be like, yeah,
well, I have to
easy,
ask.
I've done it.
I mean, did Simon Harris ever reach out and try and get you? The parties, they always try and do cool young things.
Yeah, I mean, they follow me. A lot of them do follow me. I know Simon Harris does or did anyway, but yeah, no, if they haven't, I probably wouldn't be doing a Fine Gael indie band somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, I feel like everyone listening will know who you are, but the place that we all know you from is as a former colleague of mine.
In
Joe.ie.
Yeah.
So you have gone from strength to strength in the comedy world. This episode of No Encore is a special kind of standalone one. It's Michael Fry's guide to music comedy, music-themed comedy in the internet age, the social media age, the modern era. We'll get to that. Mm. But I guess a facet of that is, I mean, because, you know, you do online sketches, you've been on the television,
yeah.
You do live stand-up as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of things happening. But, of course, what we really want to tap into is your musical prowess.
Yeah.
So you do this kind of one-man indie band thing that you know, referencing current events, etc.
Yeah.
What was the first germ of that idea of a thing that made you go in that direction?
I think I've been playing with music during lockdown. So because I was very bored and going a bit insane like everybody, I started messing with covers of the XX, pretending to do covers in the style of the XX. So literally, I think the first one was the Venga Boys, I think. And then I just kept doing them because it was funny and people were liking them and being like, this is hilarious, but I would also listen to it and I was like, cool. But I'd always wanted to do music with comedy. I just didn't know, I didn't have the tech to do it, or I didn't know how to do it, or I wasn't properly, you know, I didn't have an audio interface, I didn't have microphones, I didn't, you know, that kind of thing. And during lockdown, I got a good laptop and then started messing with it. And then I did a Christmas song and that went really well. And then I was like, oh, I'll just play with some music. I'll release some music. It doesn't matter what I do this year because I'm doing a master's. You know, I can just play with stuff on the internet. And that's when I started doing the indie band stuff. And it just blew up. And I was like, right, I'm actually all right at this. And I will keep going at it. So it's now like a proper foundational bit of me, I guess. People know me for that now.
You have an artist profile on Spotify.
I do. Yeah, which is cool. And it's all me taking the piss. It's all just like me, like four lads against a wall kind of band photo, you know what I mean?
So, yeah. With the moody kind of expressions and the different personas all inhabited by you.
Yes.
I guess a recent example of this, which I think people very much enjoyed, was following a national scandal involving the most trusted man in Ireland.
Yes.
The Toy Man, if you will, as he's known.
Yeah.
Ryan Tuberty, who is no longer with us in terms of being on
Jesus Christ.
In terms of being on our
context after that.
Being on our television and radio screens is all I mean by that. You can still find him on Instagram, and I'm sure he's still, you know, pressing the flesh of the local populace who appear to be having his back at all times. Stacks of letters, guys, as high as the door. Remember?
Yeah. My favorite line from that I haven't included in the song is that he said he didn't regret telling the children of Ireland to read more books and not to bully each other, which is like it's so funny. It's just kind of like, that's not why you're here, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, there isn't a worrying spike in child literacy rates. Do you know? That's not why you're running the PSE. Like,
everybody got COVID during the first run of COVID, people getting COVID and stuff, and it was like he said apparently on his radio show something to the effect of like he said that like. Children were crying because they thought the Toy Man might die and there'd be no toy show. And I'm like, that's not a thing that happened.
No.
Like, I just...
I feel like that was really overstated, but it was a tactic to kind of, you know, distract from everything else that was happening. Do you know what I mean? Like,
probably. But there was no hiding, though, when you decided to lampoon the man and the Oireachtas Committee hearings in particular.
Yeah.
In the form of musical comedy. So let's take a quick listen, shall we? To the song is called "The Toy Man."
Yes,
and I hope you've been paying attention to the biggest news story of the summer. If not, this might go over your head, but you should enjoy the melodies, if nothing else. My favorite bit is the "Who are you loyal to? Who are you lying to?"
Yeah, yeah.
the melody there is wonderful, and so, you know, because the whole point of this is to, I guess, to you start with the XX, but you've branched out to like kind of that kind of, I guess, familiar trope kind of codified sound of the 2010s, I guess.
I think it is. Yeah, that would be my era. I think you know that band, the Neon Trees. I think that's probably what's happening there. I think
okay
with that one, but also it's just, I don't know. I'm not particularly proficient with Ableton or kind of music in general. Like, that's very simple. Do you know what I mean? But like, that was done very quickly or whatever. So yeah, it's that's all it is. But it's just a fun way to explore the news, I guess, you know?
Yeah, a different way. I mean, I feel like this is kind of the advancement of, like, you know, we've had, and I've railed against it here on the show many a time, we've had the mournful acoustic slowed down cover, you know, for stuff like, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit over the Black Widow credits, which, you know, and Adam knows this, I still think it's something of a banger, even though it's terrible. But I feel like this new form, like what you're doing here, this satire level, it feels like a weird kind of advancement of comedy in that regard, because like this wasn't really happening. Maybe it was. I mean, I know there's like, you know, you look at something like We Didn't Start the Fire or something many years ago, but like, I just think that the game has changed.
Yeah,
and I feel like you're tapping into that.
I think so. Yeah, there's plenty of people doing what I do. I think if you want to go to where I think this originated, what I'm doing is probably songify this, is when they took news clips from US news and weird news stories and turn them into, you know, kind of 2000s kind of horrible pop music, you know? and it's, even though I think those songs are absolute bangers, by the way. But yeah, and The Lonely Island did a lot of that sort of stuff as well. But they, like, I think what I'm doing is taking actual, you know, the things people say. And some people say things in such a strange way that it fits music a lot better than even real life, you know? As in like the Liam Payne, Oscars carpet interview, where nobody talks like that ever in any other circumstance, you know? And Conor McGregor's dad talking about coinage, like the soliloquy about the coinage. And it just, it fits so well that you're kind of like, that should be put somewhere else, you know, that shouldn't just exist in this interview, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you'll be doing in this episode is some hard journalism.
Yes.
But before we get to that, real quick, what do you have coming up? And what should people, where can they find you? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so myself and Killian Sunderman are doing our live show, An Evening with Michael Fry and Killian Sunderman, at the Edinburgh Fringe for 2 weeks. So from the 15th to the very end. And yeah, please come and see us. We're doing okay ticket-wise, which is great. But it is always nice to get bums on seats. But yeah, it's kind of a mix of sketch, stand-up, and I also have two songs in it. And Killian joins me for a third. So yeah, it's a proper kind of variety show for people whose attention span has been addled by the internet. So yeah, it's our first go at the Fringe, which is fun.
Yeah, and you have been doing more live dates in Ireland as well, and I assume there's more to come down the track.
Probably. I haven't got anything booked in at the moment, but yes, at some point, yes.
And like I said, artist profile on Spotify, so go check out the tunes there.
Do, yes indeed.
And you know, all the social media activity.
Yeah, I'm all at Big Dirty Fry under all
and,
of it.
And be fucking sound to him online, by the way. People coming at you saying like, oh, that didn't happen, like just morons on the internet.
I've had a lot. Yeah, I've had some of that this week. It's very shit.
But you clapped back though.
Yeah, you know? I rarely do. You're not supposed to.
It was good. It was funny.
There's a great quote from someone, I can't remember who it is, but it's like, don't start a fight with a pig because you both end up covered in shit and the pig loves it. So there's no, what's the fucking point? You just give them what they want, you know?
100%, 100%. Mm. So what I want, though...
Oh, yes.
On this episode...
What you really, really want.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I really, really want. So we talked about doing, like, a top five of, like, comedy music or something, and I was kind of like, oh, I mean, like, is it a bit too broad? And, like, will I really, you know, kind of keep up with you, really? I wondered. I pondered aloud to passers-by, and they were like, don't ask me, mate. So essentially what I want to know here, though, is we've gone in a different direction.
Yeah.
It's in the title of the episode, but you've really gone... like, this is a fascination for you.
Yeah.
So you've kind of picked different aspects of, you know, because I guess, you know, I'm going to stop rambling. Can you explain what we're going to do?
Yeah. So what I'm going to go through is the kind of main ways in which you can use audio or you can use music in particular for comedy. So I've done kind of all of these to different extents or whatever. We're going to go through from easiest to hardest. How to make funny things from music on the internet, because I think we all have the technology to do it now, in that there's a new kind of era of musical comedy happening because of the internet, because you can clip things from different places. It's a lot easier to, say, separate audio, like particularly vocals, from you know, the rest of the track or whatever. So we're coming up with like weird remixes and mashups or whatever. So the first method of making something funny is kind of mashups and things like that. So you're manipulating two existing pieces of audio and you're throwing them together, or you're manipulating the audio to auto-tune it, to change it to AI amplifier or whatever. So I spend a lot of time in this corner of the internet. This is what I do to kind of switch off or whatever, is I find funny kind of covers of songs and funny mashups. And one of my favourites is this one. It's Stronger by Kanye West, but it's Float On by Modest Mouse, and it's beautiful. Let's play lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the boss tonight. And you don't give a fuck what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask, cause I'm not sure. Do anybody make real shit anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness, cause right now that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness, that I would even show up to this fake shit. So go ahead, go nuts, go ape shit. Especially in my pastel on my fake shit. Act like you can't tell who made this new gospel. Homie, take six and take this. Haters, that don't kill me, can only make me stronger. Yes, so there's loads of examples of this. There's a really good guy on it called, he's William Marancini Mashups on YouTube. He does a load of these things. So there's another great one called Fireflies, but it's Eye of the Tiger. So fans of real music being confronted with stuff that people wouldn't consider real music.
I don't think that Survivor is real music.
It's, yeah.
I don't know. Lads with guitars.
It's like proper dad rock though, you know?
That's fair. Yeah, people would be very protective of that in France. It's Rocky's theme, man.
Yes. You know? Yeah. So it's... Yeah, there's a lot of comments being like, I don't know if you should be locked up or you should become president. There's a lot of those kind of comments or whatever. One of my other favourites is Good For You, mashed up with Take On Me by Aha. So Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo, and then Take On Me by Aha. And then another one which I think is really important, and is memed to death as well, is the Thomas the Tank Engine theme tune, right? So there's loads of different things you can put with this. My Neck, My Back, I can't remember who does that original song with the Thomas the Tank Engine theme tune, because the song is, I don't know, it's quite a common kind of rhythm and beat, so it works. So there's one with Biggie Smalls and Thomas the Tank Engine that's fucking phenomenal. Come on, motherfuckers, come on. Come on, motherfuckers, come on. Yeah. Come on, motherfuckers, come on. Come on, motherfuckers, come on. Release the brainstorm to make your motherfucking brain warm. A strange form, something kind of lyrical. Biggie the bastard, so that's kind of spiritual. Well, in God we trust, guns our butts. Got that disgusting suicide thumping. And do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that I bring? There's something really haunting about it though as well, like that theme, like that piece of music, right? Yeah. Like, it doesn't surprise me that people have twisted it to their own ends.
Yeah,
but that's inspired.
There's a lot of recurring songs that come up with comedy music. So obviously we know that the Rick Roll, which is, you know, Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley or whatever, so people mess with that a lot. But other ones like Fireflies by L City is memed to death as well. Low by Flo Rida, I'll get into that a bit later. And yeah, the Thomas the Tank Engine theme tune, because a lot of rap is at that tempo, just seems to fit quite well. Like, it's not particularly hard to do this. All you have to do is separate the vocals and then, you know, throw it on top of one another. You know, it's technical, but it's not so difficult. You're not exactly creating anything new with it, but it's still absolutely hilarious when it works. It's kind of more like, this shouldn't work, but it absolutely does, I think, is the kind of reaction that people have.
Can I jump in and throw in a very Dave selection? Because I have a couple of them in that, because you did flag in advance. You were like, we're going to do, like, mashups will be a feature. And I was like, oh, I've got a couple.
Yeah.
So, like, very Dave-centric ones here. So the first one I want to throw to is... A certain industrial king who I adore and have referenced on the show to death, mixed with a pop starlet, and it sounds unbelievable. So if you could play that one, please, Adam.
Like an amazing phenomenon in this world where it's the same, like, two songs that are of completely different genres that are a similar tempo with the same key.
Yes.
Like, I think there's one that's, like, probably not quite in that world, but I remember it from, like, being a teenager, because everyone had it as, like, their ringtone.
Yeah.
And it was Oasis and Green Day mashed up. So it
was
Boulevard of Broken Dreams and Wonderwall mashed together.
Oh, that was terrible, I remember. Yeah.
I actually think it was quite good.
And just for clarity purposes, in case anyone doesn't know, that was Nine Inch Nails, Head Like a Hole, spliced with Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
We had it before, like, a while ago. There was, like, the amazing Strokes and Christina Aguilera mashup, which is incredible. I mean, I don't know how much of this is comedy, but I think, you know, if you take something like Nine Inch Nails and Carly Rae Jepsen, which are supposed to be diametrically opposed, but of course the irony of all this is, and I've said this a lot, is that, like, a lot of metal and new metal and whatever and rock music, it's all kind of pop music if it has hooks and melodies and singable choruses. To that end, let's have one more from me, if I may.
Okay.
So we're going to bring in my Slipknot boys here.
Oh, brilliant.
Because I had to.
Yeah.
And this is a work of art.
This is nothing new, but when we kill it all, the hate was all we had. Who needs another mess? We could start over. Just look me in the eyes and say I'm wrong.
Going down, 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 down. And I just can't believe
I think we're good. I'm not the only one.
And the rain will kill us all. We throw ourselves against the wall.
So yeah, that is Slipknot x Justin Bieber with Psychosocial Baby. Incredible.
It's magnificent. They sweetened the Corey vocals on the chorus there just a little bit, but yeah. It's so powerful, right?
That's so lovely. Yeah. And interestingly, you brought up the Nine Inch Nails one there as well, because that was also in Black Mirror. That's the one Miley Cyrus's character sings as Ashley O.
Okay.
They turn it into a pop song, and it's really easily done. And that was like, even though Ashley O is not a real artist, it was like one of my most played songs of that year or whatever. But exactly what you mean. It's in like, if there's a hook, it's kind of, because pop music, you can't really define it in terms of the instruments you use or whatever. Like Nirvana, I think, is pop music. Like,
yeah.
Bleach, very much a hook-heavy record that I really, really liked. So it's kind of like, I don't know. Just because it's guitars, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not.
If you go back to like Nine Inch Nails were an act I just didn't get into for the longest of times, and I finally did. And you go back to like that, Head Like a Hole is from Pretty Hate Machine. So it's from like 89, 90 or whatever. And it's like, Trent Reznor has always been making pop music. Yes, yeah. A lot of it is moody and dark and industrial and, you know, heavy, but like the melodies are there, the hooks are there, the pop mindset is there.
Yeah.
And Slipknot aren't too far behind in a lot of like Wait and Bleed, like that's a pop single. Mm. But just to wrap it up on this point from me, and then I will get out of your way for the rest of the show.
Uh-huh.
Corey Taylor was asked at a Q&A what he thought of the Justin Bieber mashup.
Oh, brilliant.
And so here he is giving his honest reaction.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, some genius fucking did a mashup of us and Bieber called Psychosocial Baby. Dude, I've never laughed that fucking hard in my life. You guys have to understand something about me. I'm the kind of guy, I look up all of the Slipknot shreds and fucking cry laughing. That shit is fantastic. I really fucking enjoyed it. I was like, wow, they really fucking thought this through, man. And it's creepy how well it goes together. And I've had so many, like, diehard fans. It's like, are you pissed? I'm like, why the fuck would I be pissed? That's adorable.
So there you go.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Peace in our time between pop and metal, because it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, why would you? Do you know what I mean? Why would you have a go at Justin Bieber? That, you know, I just don't see the point in him doing that. Do you know? It's also incredibly funny. That's the whole.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of making these things. You know.
Yeah, like, and it puts a smile on your face. Like, it's a dopamine rush. It totally works. Even like, you know, not to derail too much further, but like, I finished the Bear season 2 there. Mm. I'm not a big AC/DC fan, but they have a song like, is it If You Want Blood? It's in the Empire Records movie as well. Like, that song is a fucking pop song. Like, it's just straight up hooks and dopamine rush, and I love it. Like, it's a sugar rush. That's what all this kind of is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're saying that this is the easiest rung on the ladder of comedy music.
I think so. Easiest is probably the wrong word. I feel like it's you don't create things yourself, really. You manipulate things that have already been creative. And that is still a creative thing, and it's still probably hard in some instances. Mashing up things is not the only way you can do it. So there's a really terrifying clip that I want to play, is that sometimes people change songs from major to minor key. And somebody did it to the YMCA by the Village People, and it's horrifying.
That sounds like the trailer music, the soundtrack for like the greatest 70s slasher that Brian De Palma never made.
Yeah.
I really want to see that movie now.
Someone else said it's kind of like a Disney supervillain song in their lair or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's fabulous.
Do you know what? Like, I think if you actually had that played, it like actually played and not like kind of algorithmically changed.
Yeah.
Or like changed kind of via the means of like computerization or whatever.
Yeah, because that's not particularly clean.
Yeah, you can hear the kind of artifacts or whatever in it. But like, I reckon if you did that, it'd be absolutely fantastic.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those chords are just to
Adam,
die for.
I mean, you love disco.
I do.
Yeah.
You love fucking shit up, like with an audio medium.
Yeah, I mean, like, when it comes to things like that, I like disco is kind of primarily based in, like, major keys that can be that are like, you know, the corresponding minors perhaps.
So yeah, yeah.
Like it's generally quite like that's where the uplifting sound comes from, and like people who wouldn't be kind of theory heads.
Mm.
The difference between major and minor, obviously, like you heard how very dark that, yeah, that sounds, well, in comparison, yeah, to the original.
The sound is pure dread.
Yeah, well,
you're dread, used to it, yeah, being so,
exactly,
nice.
You know? Exactly. You say that, but and I swore I wouldn't derail you further, and I promise I will stop after this, but you have triggered something in me. And the sound of pure dread and the idea of taking a thing. And I can actually, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Saying these words right now and knowing what I'm about to ask Adam to play for us, I can feel my stomach beginning to turn.
Oh, brilliant.
I can feel the back of my neck just starting to just like, it's not good.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to play now a little bit of is Smash Mouth All-Star, but everything is going at different tempos.
Oh, incredible. Yes.
The first time.
That's another great example of a song that people have
biggest speakers.
The first time, like, I heard this clip, I remember vividly, I was working in a creative agency. I was at my desk and I had to get up and leave my desk and go to the bathroom because I thought I was going to throw up. So a genuine warning to you, because I think that this does something to your system. I think it does something to your frequencies or your equilibrium or something.
Mm-hmm.
It is a horrible thing.
Yeah,
but I we have to hear it. So let's have a listen.
Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. But that is one of those, like, All-Star in particular.
Sounds like my old band.
It's one of those songs that everybody has parodied. So I've done a version of All-Star. I did All-Star, but it's the John Lewis ad, where I just sing in a really high voice or whatever. But, like, that kind of, it's one of those things where...
That's terrorism right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not, it doesn't exist for the enjoyment of actually listening to it. It's been like, wouldn't it be funny if I made this? It's like, you know, the Shrek, but every time he steps forward, it doubles in speed. And, like, B-movie does it a lot. Do you know that kind of thing? It's one of those things that it's such a reference in itself. It's just funny to have All-Star in, yeah, the title. It's
there's fuck also the it, other one,
it's
isn't
pure
there?
Outsider art, like, yeah, disruption.
The one where it's like, it's Smash Mouth, but they don't stop coming, and it's literally that for the whole, yeah, fucking, yeah, thing.
Which brings me on nicely to another way you can manipulate songs, which is to put the same lyrics in over and over again. And I think my favourite version of this is probably the Christmas one. It's... Are You Hanging Up Your Stocking on the Wall by Slade. So it's basically here it is, Merry Christmas by Slade, but every single lyric in the song is Are You Hanging Up Your Stocking on Your Wall.
Are you hanging up your stocking on your wall? Are you hanging up your stocking on your wall? Are you
So that was Are You Hanging Up Your Stocking on Your Wall by Slade. It's incredible. If you are ever asked to do karaoke around Christmas time, make sure you put this on and do it, because I did it at my brother's birthday and none of his friends, because they're much younger than me, knew what was going on. And then eventually they were like, this is insane. I love it. You're not going to think so. Yeah, it's a really common kind of trope with a lot of songs. So the other one is Low by Flo Rida. Somebody tweeted one time, apple bottom jeans, boots with the jeans, the whole club was up in jeans. And then somebody obviously edited the song and I made it into a video. So there's loads of versions of it. It's another really funny way. And it's just because people are bored in their rooms. And it's like, it doesn't take a huge amount of effort to do it, but it's such a funny thought.
I do have a clip of that particular one and I feel like I have to play it.
You have to play it. But before you do play it, there's also, you know, you were working... You
as
were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Yes.
Cocktail bar. Yeah. Cocktail bar. It's so good. Again, to go back to the slide one, I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, I couldn't breathe from laughing.
Yeah, so I cried.
I was in pieces. Like, I was just like, this is the most surreal, demented, absurd slice of brilliance I've ever.
Yeah,
to this. Yeah, no, seriously. Like, oh man, it's incredible. But yes, Adam, I believe you're going
to
treat us.
I'm going to have to do this. Everyone needs to hear this.
Yes. Yeah. Incredible, absolutely incredible.
But it's crazy. Like,
with all of them, I think it's more like this should not exist, but it does, and that's where the humor comes from. I think. So I'm going to move on from this particular kind of section. Is this is only the first section?
Oh my! I thought we were burning. I thought we were on like section three.
This is manipulating existing audio. So the other ways, the newer ways people are doing it are using AI. So if you're on TikTok, you'll probably have seen Plankton from SpongeBob sing Some You Love by Lewis Capaldi or whatever. There's another very good version of Fireflies by LCD, but it's done by a droid from Star Wars Episode 1. And for whatever reason, it scratches a part of my brain that I was like, this is actually really nice. I really like it, you know? So if you want to follow any of those accounts, you want to see what people are doing, the new horrifying things people are doing with music, I would recommend Participation Certificate on TikTok. There I Ruined It on TikTok. William Marancini mashups. And then there's another guy called Ice Pop, who Ice Pop Rock, I think is what he calls himself on Twitter. He does a brilliant mashup with Fontaine's DC and Dust and the Turkey. It's very, very funny. Anyway, okay. So the next bit, okay, and you're adding something new here. This is a cover of an existing song. So you take a song that already exists and you put it through a really weird style or something unique and you create something wonderful from it. I think a foundational text in this is definitely the version of What's Up by Four Non Blondes, sung by a very camp version of He-Man. Adam, if you'd like to put that on. When you do put that in, make sure you find the clip of Skeletor going, and he prays, because it's incredible.
One of my most hated songs of all time, by the way.
I get it. It's quite jarring. Like,
it's proper, like, if it comes on in a shop, I will walk out.
Yeah, I think if I was around, like, working in one of those jobs where the radio was on all day and that existed at the time, I would hate the song. I, however, heard that version first.
Sure.
So that's the original as far as I'm concerned. And the original is like a cool cover to me that I quite enjoy.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But it's,
you got an emotional attachment.
I do. I think I found that video when I was 12, and it's it awakened something in me, I would say. It's incredible. But there's a load of people doing this kind of thing with loads of different songs. One of the most popular ones to do it with is Low. And there's an amazing version someone does of I'm laughing if you think about it. It's What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. However, it's also Apple Bottom Jeans.
Apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur, the whole club was looking at her. Fuck. Shawty got low.
Every possible band has covered this song. Like, everyone has gotten all in. They've either played the song themselves, they use a backing track or whatever. There's like the Smiths, there's ABBA, there's every possible popular band you could think of has essentially covered that on YouTube, and it's incredible.
How do you, so like why that one? You know, like it just, someone just does it once and everyone just jumps in?
I think it's, yeah, and I think it's such a, it's meme culture, but people are using audio instead. And I think it's such a silly song. It's such a ridiculous song. And it's one of those songs songs, I think, for people of our generation, Adam, I think, it was our alarm tone before we went to school. Like, I know loads of people, I cannot listen to the open bars of that song without going, oh, fuck, I have to go to school tomorrow, because it was my alarm tone for a full year.
I was obsessed with the, and don't think I didn't notice you're people of our generation, Adam. Dave's much older than us. Little Sorry. Dig there, a little sideswipe. Unbelievable. Invite into the studio and this is what I get.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with the Travis Barker remix of Low.
Yeah, yeah.
To him doing the drums over it. Mm. I thought it was the coolest shit ever.
I didn't know that existed. That's incredible.
It's kind of lame, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, this is my music.
Oh, big time. Yeah. I was like, this is the most badass thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. That's the example of Low or Apple Bottom Jeans, whatever. It's to do with people using or music that already exists or whatever. But you'll find as well that people put different genres on pop songs as well. One thing I discovered a few years ago was this thing called Bardcore, and it's kind of like medieval sounding music, and there's a fantastic cover of Barbie Girl by Aqua out there, but there's loads of different pop songs, but this is probably my favourite one because it sounds beautiful. That's a whole genre that exists, apparently.
I feel like I feel like either that Rosaline movie or like Catherine Called Birdie. I feel like one of those films did this because they're set in, you know, ye olden days.
Bridgerton does it a lot. Okay. With popular music, yeah, where they'll do it with a string quartet or whatever, and it sounds great because they're just good songs. There's a guy on TikTok I follow who does. It's pop songs, but they sound like movie soundtracks, and it's all done with violins or whatever. So, I think that's all digitally created. It's not actually real instruments. Some people do use real instruments. There's a guy called Recorder Legend on YouTube who's fantastic. He's just like some teenager who's really good at the recorder, who records a lot of stuff. I think it's a bit too grating to put on the podcast at the moment. But another woman is Samara Ginsberg, and she does Thomas the Tank Engine again, another song's been mean to death, for 7 cellos, and it sounds lovely. Yeah, that was Samara Ginsberg. So she does her whole thing is TV theme tunes. So there's a really good version of X-Men as well, where she does like, you know, the cool electronic things with the bow as well. It's a brilliant channel.
So you've triggered a memory here. Like, so there's this guy, I don't know if he still does it, I presume he does, but I saw this years ago on YouTube. Some guy on YouTube, I think his name was like Smooth McGroove. And what he's done here is, so this is
funky.
This is a cappella, and there's like, if you look at like the screen, there's like nine of him essentially doing every instrument, but just vocally.
Yeah.
So this is the Guile theme from Street Fighter 2, with this guy just doing like I guess looping himself and layering himself up 9 times.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's just one man and his voice.
That's unreal. You know what's very funny is when people do versions of that and they fuck it up. There's a really funny, I think it's a Vine actually. It's from the early age of the internet where somebody tries to do
the 9 or the like 4 screen thing.
Yeah, it was a template on Vine, I think, for a while. Or it might have been on TikTok. I think it was Vine actually.
It was Vine, 100%.
Or there was some other weird app for karaoke that people did that with as well.
That's right.
But there was a kid who tried to do Africa by Toto, and it sounds dreadful. It's very funny. But I mean, like, that's, we're kind of crossing the boundary into like proper artistry there, because I mean Bjork has a whole album where she just uses vocal sounds. Do you know what I mean?
So, sure,
like,
sure.
Do you know? And
you
acapella
brought cello
music
into
is,
the mix. You, like, you made it sophisticated. Before
I did. Make it, yeah, exactly. I brought a level class that is not seen in this podcast very often,
If ever.
But yeah, so if you're looking for stuff like this, I would recommend recorder legend Samara Ginsberg, Dalton, I think it's Deschain or Deschain, I can't remember. He actually does versions of pop songs in the style of the B-52s, which is all very funny. He had a really popular one of Antihero by Taylor Swift that went viral recently. And then there's a guy called DJ Comerbund who does similar stuff to There I Ruined It on TikTok. So if you want to find stuff like that, it's great. I've attempted this before. I did a series of kind of like, but it's Irish folk was my thing, where I did kind of pop songs in the style of, say, Christy Moore. So I do like the Monster Mash and things like that. So the next way of making comedy music is to use the same chords of a song, but you change the lyrics slightly. So I think it's about on par with the kind of funny cover thing. Only you can use kind of genuine poetry and funny things in the lyrics. It's a kind of classic parody song that, say, Gift Grub used to do or whatever. And basically the main guy for this sort of stuff is a guy called Munya Chihuahua. So during lockdown, Matt Hancock, the health secretary of the UK, was caught shifting one of his colleagues. And basically by close of business the next day, Munya Chihuahua had this absolutely amazing video, but it's a parody of Wasn't Me by Shaggy, but he's got a lovely suit on, he's got a green screen going, and it's really fucking well done. But it was done by 5 p.m. the next day. That story broke at like 4 a.m. so he must have been like, he must have looked at his phone and was like, right, fuck, let's go
to work.
And it's the speed of it that's so impressive, as well as the song itself.
The Sun newspaper called me red-handed, creeping with a toy next door.
Wasn't me.
Set you on to some of that Matt Hancock banging on my down the street door. How could I forget I wasn't wearing any PPE? Though she hasn't had a vaccination, she got a little break from me.
Mr. Hancock, tell me, are you high, are you burning? Having an affair, this guy was trying to be conning. They should call him Dominic because he's always coming. When he sees a Sky News cruise, his man is running. I can't believe this man is health secretary. Fondling the bunda, caught in 4K. Having an affair, trying to do a Boris J. 2 meters distance apart, no way.
It really speaks to kind of how you have to get on it immediately. Because, I mean, although that story ran for a little while, it wouldn't have been as funny, like, say, 2-3 days later. Like, I've experienced that myself. I did the Hanforth Parish Council parody, and that was, I remember seeing it on Loose Women like the next day after I did it, and I was like, this is old news, do you know? Because news moves so quickly, and I think during lockdown we gobbled things up and like tore the arse out of it, and then it was just, you know.
How much, you know, of that is a detriment to you though? Because, for example, like the Toy Man that we played earlier on,
yeah,
you took a little bit, like, not like too much time, but yeah, I feel like you took your time.
Yeah,
but are you sweating to be like, fuck, I gotta get out there now? Like, it's such a,
yeah. I mean, you do get you get massive short term gains when you do something that's so topical. But the problem is, it doesn't age well, you know. And if you rush it, it probably mightn't sound that good, and it's probably not something people are going to revisit. But if you take your time with it, you do well, people remember it for ages, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's that thing of having to be constantly reactive to everything, and you see it all the time, not just in comedy. You know, like, if you're not first, you're last or whatever, but like, at the same time you got to be, you know, there's a certain level of quality. And again, I think, you know, this kind of stuff, like what you just played and like, you know, what you do, you can't just do it in one go on the phone. Like, there's so much production work that goes into it as well. So,
I mean, that was just the audio as well. So, I mean, the visuals, video, well, visuals are unreal, you know. And I know he has somebody doing visuals for him, and that's a two-man job, you know, so it's really impressive. But yeah, it's kind of, I think it's, you know, sometimes people get very lazy with these kind of parodies and they're not particularly funny, but when it's well done like that, I'm like, I really do appreciate it, you know. Another fantastic one that went viral on TikTok recently is a song called Stacey's Dad, which is a cover of Fountains of Wayne's Stacey's Mom from years ago. But it's just done very well and it went everywhere. I think Fountains of Wayne actually found it and were like, this is unreal, because it's very good.
Stacey's Dad. Stacey, can I come over in my car?
In my car.
We can change the oil and hang out in the garage.
The Naja garage.
Did your dad get back from the hardware store?
Hardware store.
Is he there or is he reading about the store? war.
Civil war.
And I know that you think it's just a fantasy, but since your mom came out, your dad could use a guy like me. Stacy's dad has got me down bad. He's all I want, and I think he's a real Chad.
Top stuff.
So good.
That's really
so
good. Good. Really good.
Just a real nice kind of novel take on the whole parody
S-tier genre. Lyrics in there as well.
It's great. There's a comedian up the north called Paddy Raff who went viral. I think it was Facebook Times actually with a version called Stacey's Ma. Same kind of idea, but it's Stacey's Ma has joined the Ra, whatever. There's loads of kind of things like that. That one I think is parodied quite a bit. There's another recent one on TikTok where it was kind of asking about, you know, Stacey's mom is too old to be interested, or the boy in the video is way too young for this to even exist. Do you know what I mean? It's really problematic. So there's like people who do it in their stand-up and stuff like that. But yeah, that kind of concludes our kind of changing the lyrics bit. And now we're going to move into what I normally do, which is you take found poetry, I like to call it, and then you turn it into a song. So you basically just take things that exist in media and turn it into a song in itself. So you heard at the start of the show, we had the Ryan Tuberty song from the PAC hearings, but I've done it with loads of different videos or whatever, loads of different speeches, loads of different moments from even TV and pop culture. But other people are doing it as well. It's not just me. I think my favourite of the ones I've done, the one that kind of did really well last year, and I was kind of surprised by the big spike in listens, was Liam Payne's Oscar interview. But I did it. I said Celtic folk here. I don't know if it actually qualifies as that genre, but that's what I called it anyway. So here it is.
I believe what every fellow he did, he had the right to do. But it cut me really deep, and I have to leave my seat. I'll be honest with you. It was a very sad thing, but a very powerful moment for me to see one of the world's best emoters I've ever seen. I would rather see the beauty of this situation than take the pain. I would rather take the beauty of this situation than take the pain. I'll be honest with you, I'm a big movie fan. I'll be honest with you, yes I am. I'll be honest with you, I'm a big movie fan. I'll be honest with you.
So if it's not Celtic folk, what is it?
I don't know.
How do we categorize this?
I think it's probably, you know when you had an iPod and alternative was a genre?
Oh yeah.
I think it's just that, to be honest, because there's an Alt-J vibe off it as well. And
yeah, there is. Yeah,
I think two nights before that I went to see Circa Richardson in the Academy and Niamh Regan opened for her. So I think that was kind of, that style of music was in my head. Obviously Niamh Regan does a lot more intricate stuff than that, but
probably,
I don't know,
he says.
For whatever reason, it was just kind of in my head. But yeah, it's taking stuff that doesn't exist in song form and turning it into song form. I'm not the only person who does it. The kind of godfathers of this in terms of internet comedy are definitely the Songify This guys. And I think the most obvious example is the Bed Intruder song, which I'm sure everybody has heard and has been parodied multiple times.
He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them, so you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you, so you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that, homeboy, homeboy. We got your t-shirts and the left finger prints, and oh, you are so dumb. You are really gone, for real.
The man got away, leaving behind evidence. I was attacked by some idiot in the project.
So dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so dumb. He's climbing in your window.
Like quite a grim thing to make a funny news video about.
But
I mean that's been parodied. Even
so
that
dramatic.
Has been parodied so many times. Like there's parodies of that. Like the opening to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is an auto-tune version of someone who's found Kimmy Schmidt in the bunker or whatever. But yeah, it's. I think that's kind of where my brain was going, I think, at the time, or it probably was sitting in there somewhere when I started doing what I do. Obviously, I don't use auto-tune. I sing everything myself. So what I do is actually more impressive.
This thing of just taking something that is so alien to music and going well with it. There's one I saw before as well, and again, I'm going to have to wreck Adam's head here by asking him to find it on the fly. There's a like a renowned television chef, Julia Child.
Oh, it's Julia Child. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a, someone has like taken like this kind of very old television kind of show thing and just completely fucked it up. So let's have a listen to that.
The ability to invent hot chocolate truffles.
Meltingly addictive hot chocolate truffles. Balls of creamy chocolate filling that are rolled in fresh crumbs. Let's have another piece.
As long as the dough is relaxed, it's ready to roll. Ready to
Let's
roll.
Have another piece.
All in a ball. Ready to roll. Ready to roll.
Freshness is essential. That makes all the difference. All the difference. I like the smell of something. Cookies. Makes me feel it. Bring on the roasted potatoes. Bring on the borscht. This is what good cooking is all about. This is what good cooking is.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Again, not to be just a broken record of myself, but like a friend sent it to me like a couple of years ago and I was just crying with laughter, just in pieces. Like.
And it remains with you for years. Like the, just stuff that you shouldn't be singing and you repeat it over and over again. And I think cooking's a big one. I think it's people being bored watching daytime TV and being like, you know, I'll mess with that. There's a great example of, I don't know if it's Holmes and the Hammer or one of those kind of homes, one of those home shows, and the presenter keeps moving his hands and pushing them in and out. So somebody edited piano sounds
it's
every time he moves.
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's so good. But it's just an example of like...
It's like Home in the Sun or like, you know, one of those abroad...
Oh, is it?
Abroad,
okay. Yeah,
home
yeah, yeah,
hunting
yeah.
shows. He's like, dun, dun, dun. You can't see what I'm doing, but like anytime he does it, it's fucking brilliant.
It's very good, you know. Phenomenal. And that's a lot of people do that where they say they create a piano melody for something that shouldn't have a piano melody. So I don't know if you saw that clip recently where the woman's on the flight and she's like, and I'm telling you right now. That motherfucker isn't real.
Yeah.
And somebody has put like all the notes and like obviously it's in some really weird key because it doesn't exist in, you know, it's not
Did
actually.
Did we ever find
piece.
Out, by the way, what was going on there? Because, of course, everyone went wild in the same joke, which is a great joke where they were like, they showed the photograph of Scooby-Doo on a plane.
Yeah.
that person's not real. Yeah. But like, was that a bit?
I honestly don't know. I don't know the background of the meme at all.
But, was it a genuine breakdown?
I've only seen memes of the meme.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing.
Did you think it was a ghost? I'd love to know what was going on.
There's aliens now, so.
That's
yeah,
true.
Listen,
yeah, Tom DeLonge.
We all just don't really care about.
Apologise to Tom DeLonge, everybody. Yeah, but no one cares.
No one gives a shit.
It's like, news from the 90s. It's like, we've all moved on.
Yeah, yeah. We're busy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, busy making mashups.
But yeah, so it's not a big category, I don't think, that I exist in.
But it does yield gold, though.
Oh, it does. Yeah, absolutely. And then suddenly you're singing things that you shouldn't be. And like, I get a lot of videos from people, and please don't do this, by the way, of them sending their kids singing my songs. And it's usually stuff that like, it could be Zip Up Your Mickey or could be one of those things, which obviously the kid doesn't know what they're singing about. And it's like, that's so inappropriate. Please don't send it to me. But it's also hilarious. I completely understand why you wanted to. You're not going to think.
There was one. I don't know if this fully qualifies, but there was one that resurfaced recently, and it was like, and the person posting said like, this was maybe my favorite piece of art during lockdown, and it's incredible. And it's basically like a guy in England, and he's like, when lockdown's over, like walking back into the pub, and he's like walking down the street in his own river, and he's just singing to himself, and he's singing like, I'll be your dream, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy. And then it cuts to like, you know, like the barman in the pub, and it's like, you know, like picking up the next part of the song.
Yes.
And they're all singing it as if it's like a football terrorist anthem.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. The Savage Garden song truly matters deeply. And it's just, they're all like, you know, like, oh God, I can't even think of the lyrics right now, but it's like, you know, it's like, I wanna stand where you on a mountain. It's fucking incredible. But yeah, taking that existing thing and just twisting it up into something, it's amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And we play with other stuff when it comes to comedy, like impressions or visuals and things like that. So like music is obviously like a really easy thing to do that with, and I think it's really nice to see people play with music in that way, like, you know, and just have fun with it, because it can seem really serious sometimes. Another guy who's important in that world is Cassette Boy. We won't play his clip because it's I couldn't find a good one, basically, but he used to do roundups of the year. He used to a lot of it was politics. politics, UK politics, where he'd take clips of what people said, auto-tune them, and then turn them into like parody songs. So yeah, it's changing the lyrics.
Like, you go through like 100 Boris Johnson speeches,
yeah,
and each word will then correspond into a new sentence that makes him obviously look terrible.
Yes, yeah.
More terrible than he makes himself look.
There was one that was like that. It'd be more to do with like the mashup world. Where, do you remember DJ Earworm? Do you ever remember those? Like the annual mashup, and it was every song in the charts. He'd take every song in the charts and put it into one song.
I do remember that, yeah.
And it's like, it's genuinely incredible how well it's all worked together, because it's like different instrumentals from different charting songs and then a cappellas from those charting songs all working together. It's really, really good. If you haven't seen it, DJ Earworm on YouTube, he did them like, it was like mid 2010s, early 2010s, I think maybe.
A lot of the stuff is from that time. Yeah. I think one of the ones that made me laugh loads when I saw it first, which we're going to play, is a guy called Swede Mason. And he does a remix of, again, another daytime TV favourite of MasterChef, even though that's an evening show, but still, it's a cookery show. It's something so basic that it's kind of like someone sitting there watching it being like, the way he said that's really funny, I'm going to run upstairs to my room and just fuck with it, you know, which I think is amazing. So this is Buttery Biscuit Bass by Swede Mason.
I like the bass. I like the buttery biscuit bass. I like the bass, bass, biscuit bass. I like the buttery biscuit bass. I like the bass. I like the buttery bass. I like the buttery biscuit bass. I like the buttery bass. I like the buttery bass. Bass, 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 knowledge. Crunchy bass. Nutty bass. Buttery biscuit bass. Acid bass.
Smack around the face.
I like the buttery biscuit bass.
Hard
bass. Soft bass. Buttery biscuit bass. I like the buttery.
I think the fact that it's got like music terminology in there as well has like a lot to do with that, because like,
yeah,
you could hear that in like genuine, I know like it's the same kind of style, but you could hear that in an acid house.
Yeah.
And at a rave somewhere in like, I don't know, like Hackney in the 90s like that. You know what I mean? It's a, I love like shit like that. The people see, they like thread the needle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They really do it, and they do it in one go, and it's just phenomenal stuff.
Yeah. And we've seen it kind of recently enough with, you know, the Attenzione Pickpocket Woman, and it, you know, it's turned into a song then suddenly, you know. I think it's, a weird, like, as a musician or as someone who likes music, it's kind of almost your first instinct sometimes, where you're like, this could make a good song if I sang it in the right way, you know? So for these, for the, you know, if you want more of this kind of stuff, I would recommend Me.
I saw that in the notes, by the way, and I was just like, this is brilliant.
please listen to my music. It's Me, Cassette Boy. And there's another guy called KS Rhodes, and he does stuff on TikTok where he basically takes children's nursery rhymes and he sings them in the style of their dad's favorite bands. So you got Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes by Weezer, Bingo Was His Name Oh by The National, and then there's another one by Radiohead, Baby Shark by Radiohead, and they're all really, really good, like proper examples of what those bands do, but just with those lyrics. So it's really fun. So do follow him on TikTok if you want more of that. So we're gonna go to the last kind of way you can make a comedy song, and that is to just make one up yourself.
We're doing right now. Got nowhere. Yeah.
So
get
you basically
the tambourine out, Dave.
Yeah. Wherever will we find the instruments to do such a thing? But yeah, it's basically just making up a song yourself and doing it. I think the most famous example.
This is the hardest one. This is the black belt of comedy music,
because you're coming up with something from nothing essentially.
Original material. But sorry. The Urtex example for you.
I think the biggest one in recent years was the Inside Special by Bo Burnham, because those songs were released and I am still listening to them to this day. I think the one we have here is Jeffrey Bezos, which is only like a minute and a bit, but it's from his Netflix special Inside.
CEO entrepreneur, born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos. CEO entrepreneur, born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos. Come on, Jeffrey, you can do it. Pave the way, put your back into it. Tell us why, show us how. Look at where you came from, look at you now. Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett, amateurs.
Can I confess that that's the first time I've heard anything from that? I've never seen it.
Oh, man.
Because the level of hype that followed that when it came out was so intense.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going fucking near this for years.
I completely understand that. I think for me, because he does what I do far better than I could ever do it, and he did it all by himself in his room during lockdown, because we all did mad shit. Like, I certainly threw myself into creative stuff during lockdown. He was going to go back on tour after years of stage fright, and then suddenly the pandemic happened, so he made this special in his room instead, and it's incredible. It's just, but because he's near enough the same age as me, he talks about kind of turning 30 and all that kind of stuff, so there's kind of existential dread about it, and then parodying kind of tropes in our media at the moment, so that he does this thing called a reaction video where he reacts to himself reacting to something, to himself reacting to something, and it's this unbelievable loop. So like the way he uses technology is really, really interesting in it. But I think what this does is it crosses the boundary between joke music and music that's very good. So all that is really well produced and really well constructed, and they're great songs. But the foundation is that they're funny, do you know, that kind of thing. So it's kind of, it's bridging that gap before that we had before. I think Blind Boy has mentioned before that if you make comedy music, you're not really seen as a serious musician. Whereas I think that's not necessarily true anymore. I hope it's not very true anymore, to be honest. But I think people are playing with music in a way that's both happy and sad, which is lovely, which is, I think, it's what all art should do. It shouldn't just be that serious all the time, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it should tap into all kinds of different quadrants of emotion.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I've started to do original songs in my live sets. And the reason I do that is so it's kind of unique to the live experience. It's something you never heard before. And obviously you can't refer to things live. You can't be like, oh, did you see that video? Because that doesn't make any sense to a live audience. So it's a reward for that kind of thing. So I do actually make original stuff as well as ripping shit off.
How do you find it? Like how do you find it? Like what you're talking about there, the idea of a musician and a comedian, you know, not never the twain shall meet, but in terms of integrity or professional respect or whatever the fuck you want to put on it.
Yeah.
So do you want to be taken seriously as a musician? Like, is that kind of like would that be a part of this, or does that matter to you?
I don't think it matters massively to me, because I've never enjoyed music snobbery, you know, and people who think pop music isn't technically impressive or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So it doesn't matter hugely, because the people who would have a go at me for that are, why would I want their opinion, that kind of thing. Yeah. I just don't get it. It's a pretentiousness we don't need, you know, and it's kind of, it's a way of locking kind of things out, if you know what I mean. Like, so it's kind of to say, oh well, I have this musical education that you don't have, and therefore what I do is better than you, you know. You see it with other kind of art as well. But it's, yeah, I don't know. It's
do you find it difficult to write the original song? Especially considering, like, you know, when you're doing something like the Toy Man or whichever, like, you know, there's very specific building blocks in place for you there.
Yeah.
Not that what you do, not that that's not difficult to do and conjure up and construct and edit and finish it, but this is a blank piece of paper.
Yeah, it is harder. But what I find as well is that I'm constantly playing with music anyway. So I'd be sitting in my room and say I'm bored or something, I will literally just throw open Ableton and see if I can make something funny or something catchy or whatever. So I have all these kind of stems in my repertoire anyway. It's just finding a reason to make a song, and kind of whether that's funny or whether it's not. And then, because lyrics are very, I find them very difficult, and that's why I take them from other places. So it is harder, because you have that other thing, whereas when you take it from a video or whatever, it is a challenge to fit them into meter and to fit them into a catchy kind of hook or melody or whatever, but the lyrics exist already, whereas like you're starting from zero otherwise. So it's, this is why I think this kind is the hardest. It's kind of the most traditional kind. You make up a funny song from scratch and that's it, rather than referring to things or whatever. So it's really impressive, you know, which is why I have it on the end of the list. Another person I think is really important, or I think we need to talk about, is Kyle Gordon, who's a comedian who released a 2000s banger there. I think it was 90s banger. I can't remember the way he phrased it, but it's basically like any kind of Eastern European band who had mainstream success in the 90s and early 2000s. It's blown up this week. It's absolutely brilliant. So I've never heard that parodied before, that style. You know, when you look back and you see something as naff.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think it's funnier now that it's years later that we're looking back and being like, that was fucking weird. Why did we all love that? Like, you know,
that is like thrown into a blender. It's the likes of DJ Ötzi and Sash.
I have 65.
Sash. Yeah.
Scooter
for sure.
Just Scooter. Yeah.
Who else you got? Like
Culture Beat.
Alice DJ.
Yeah.
ATB.
Yeah.
It's probably a really obvious one that I missed. I mean, obviously, like, you know, what was it? Fucking Dragonoid.
Aqua. Then,
what
were they called? The Dragonoid?
Ozone.
That, all was... that stuff that, yeah, would just like come along and just haunt you for a summer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Toka's Miracle by Fragma, that kind of stuff.
Listen, that's
it's a bit of a banger.
That's great. Yeah.
So this guy's called Kyle Gordon. I guess he's an internet comedian. I see him pop up all the time. So I sent this to you earlier on. Mutual friend, and certainly friend of the show. Maybe one day he'll come on. Carl Kinsella.
Yeah.
Tweeted today and said, "I'm obsessed with the drama here. The guy's done a new version with a new woman, and the fans have absolutely turned on him."
Yeah.
And I've had a look at like the tweet that he put out today, and all the quote tweets and the responses, and basically everyone is like, "Where's the woman that you had in the first video gone? We don't like this one. This sucks."
Yeah.
So I don't know if he planned for this to be like an extra layer of satire here, and just how fickle pop music fans can be.
I mean, probably. But
it appears he's been milkshake ducked, or as they say.
I wouldn't even go that far. Do you know what I think it is? Is that I know he's failing this one in the Czech Republic, so I'd say he's just hired a local actress in the Czech Republic.
Well, they didn't want it.
Yeah, I don't know. They filmed it in the Oculus Mall, which is, I think it's in New York. I can't remember where it is, but they just can't do it again. So basically he's filming somewhere else. But and he's like, he's kind of doubling down on it, being like, I'm going to film everything in Eastern Europe from now on. But she was perfect for that role, you know, that kind of thing.
What
I loved about the parody is the guy in it, as in, like, there's just that sunglasses rapping guy,
the polarized sunglasses that you can see, like, their blue reflection, everything's a blue reflection.
And like, when I was like 6 or 7, I would have thought that is the coolest man alive. You know, what a cool guy. You know,
I want to be him.
Yeah, because it was just like, it's such a thing in like kids movies or whatever, where there's like a real mysterious guy with just sunglasses on all the time. You see it in like the Fast and Furious movies even. I think the second one, there's a guy with those kind of sunglasses and they have a drag race at nighttime and he's still wearing the sunglasses. And you're like, this is so fucking dangerous, but it's very cool. I don't know.
That's the most dangerous thing in a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, that's probably
improper glasses etiquette.
A kind of a more grim example of writing your own song is the Colleen Ballinger. The phrase ukulele apology is the funniest thing to me in the world.
So I've avoided this like the plague. I just saw it pop up on Twitter in the last month or so. Someone sent me a link to it and I said, I think it was my friend Carlo, and I was like, Carlo, I was like, as long as I breathe, I will never watch this thing. So can you explain who this person is and what happened?
So she was a YouTuber called Miranda Sings, who used to message her fans when she was younger. So from what I gather, she was maybe joking with them when they weren't of age to be joked with in certain ways. I think that's kind of the scandal. I also...
Pretty diplomatic way of saying it, I think. Yeah,
I think
covers
so.
All bases.
Yeah, I don't want to get sued, but also I also didn't look very much into it because it's the most horrendous thing that exists, you know, because why would you, after being called out for something like that, why would you then pick up a ukulele and be like, do you know what they love? If I sing all of this,
you know? The level of arrogance is...
It's astounding. It's absolutely astounding. And it's kind of, you know, in the age of kind of the apology video, I guess this is a novel take on it, and I guess it's content, and I guess she's gone viral. I didn't really know who she was before this appeared, but it's one of those real dystopian kind of things where you're like, oh, is the internet bad? I guess it is.
Do we have to listen to it?
No, we don't.
Well, you brought it in.
I guess I did.
Like, you know, like we've built it up. So go on, Adam. Put me out of my fucking misery.
Now, it has quite a catchy chorus, to be fair.
Oh, good.
You got to hand it. You don't got to hand it to her.
You do not, under any circumstances, got to hand it to them.
This is 10 minutes long, so you're going to get a portion of this so that is palatable.
Yes.
The locomotive's fueled with hateful accusations. The toxic gossip train. Steam roll over someone's reputation. Toxic gossip train. Hop on board but close your eyes. Otherwise you'll realize that the train is made of lies. And that person you despise maybe didn't deserve to die. But hey, at least you're having fun.
Okay, that was tough.
Yeah,
if anyone wants context, I know Bandwagons have done an episode that's like a pretty big deep dive on Miranda Sings' career and this particular scandal.
Yeah.
So you can go and check that
out. But it's certainly, this crossover here definitely piqued my interest as somebody who makes music.
It's just horrible shit.
It's really horrible. It's an absolutely insane thing to do, and such an arrogant way to apologize or to you know, react to that sort of stuff. So a really inappropriate use of music in this sense. Yeah, you know, yeah. I'm not a fan of music being played with for this purpose. But I think I'd like to end on the last example I want to give you is a lovely, I think they're a duo, or I think it might be one person. It's called Koruk, and they have the song called If I Were a Fish that's done really well on TikTok. And I think it's one of those ones that does, again, bridge the gap between good song and comedy. It's just very lighthearted, and I think we need more of this in the world. So this is Koruk.
Singing my song, I'd say damn they're cute and sing along. If I were a rock, you would pick me up and say that's a nice rock, skippiest on the lake. Pop, 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 I'm the perfect shape. And if I were a sock, you would put me on and say that's a nice sock, happiest as a pear. I found you, now I'm not scared. Why is everybody on the internet so song, I'd say damn they're cute and sing along.
Yeah, so I think that just shows you, because TikTok was built to be kind of a music app that people shared kind of karaoke bits and sounds with each other, and I think obviously music is a huge part of that. So it's really interesting to see stuff like that go viral when it never would have gone viral before, and the way it has, you know. But it's happened to like mainstream artists as well. So Pearl Jam saw an increase of the listens to Even Flow, because I think they're it's basically people do this thing where they play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, I can't remember what number it is, and they dress their character up as Jesus, and they do the Jesus kind of thing over the over our canyon or something, and then they play Even Flow, and for some reason like it has caught on as a trend, and then Pearl Jam have this just this massive spike in listens. So it's really interesting how it reacts with music, TikTok. But also I think it's kind of, it puts another thing on artists to be like, you now have to maintain this social media channel as well as the three or four others you have to do, even though it mightn't be your cup of tea, you know. So you have, you know, artists finding success because they've gone viral on TikTok, and it might necessarily be deserved in the same way as when people were popular before. It's just that they've managed to do the algorithm stuff. They make some great stuff, obviously, but it's kind of, it's another skill that's being used and has to be used to promote music, when obviously as a musician your primary focus would be the music, you know. So it's kind of it's a difficult one. It's an interesting way to look at how music is going to be marketed for the next while, at least anyway, because it's really hard not to engage with social media to find success without engaging with it, you know.
Michael Fry, that was comprehensive.
Thank you.
And incredible. And I came into this kind of nervous, because I was like, you know, it's not that I don't like comedy. Everyone likes comedy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm like, I'm particular about what I do like. And I'm like, is this going to be, you know, like, I mean, like, am I going to be allergic to to musical comedy, especially in the TikTok kind of vibe? But like, no, I think I vibed quite a lot of this.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of really sharp stuff that perhaps I wasn't as plugged into.
It's yeah. It's
given that I'm not from your generation, of you, as you pointed out earlier on, you know.
I mean, your ear is like at the Eagles and like fucking Joy Division, isn't it?
quite like Joy Division,
yeah.
What's wrong with that?
But yeah,
famous uplifting band, Joy Division, was our call.
Like when you asked me to be on it, I was almost like, could I go in serious music? And well, I say serious music, I was going to talk about like the indie, what was it, the synth pop revival of the 2000s was my
initial
topic.
We could do that someday.
And we could, absolutely. But I felt like I live in this world all the time, and I obviously this is my job or whatever, and it's the first thing I've been asked on a podcast that I knew loads about, that I was like, yeah, let's go. But even then, it's still just my corner of the internet and the stuff that I have as a person of my age, you know. And I wouldn't have been into TikTok until maybe a year or two ago, you know. So I'm really excited to see what happens next in the space, but I definitely feel like it's having a moment at the moment. Like, so I played the Ivy Gardens there recently, the comedy festival, and I was on a lineup with Tony Cantwell, Simon Hennessy, Lawsy Byrne, and Ali O'Rourke. So Ali was the MC, so she didn't do music, but everybody else had music in their set. And we've all done versions of it, and even we held the Bureau de Change contest every year. So it's a parody Eurovision thing, and we're all interested in music, and it's we've all recognised it as a way to kind of make funny things and another, you know, way of being creative. So I think it's definitely here to stay for a while. I think it's riding a bit of a wave where we're all kind of like, this is so much fun to mess with, you know. So yeah, I think that's where we're at the moment with it. But again, I'm probably on the way out in terms of my age and stuff, so I don't know.
Oh, come on. Don't be ridiculous. You mentioned the Bureau de Chansons there. And wrapping up, I will say that, you know, there is a highly sought-after producer, a sonic architect, if you will, who has contributed gold, I believe, to that particular arena.
That'd be me, everybody.
I think you probably have the most
sonic
wins.
Architect, Adam.
I've only got one win.
Okay.
I've got one win. The first one, I won it and kind of came second as well.
Yeah.
Because it went to a tiebreak situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So with the wonderful Fionnuala J, friend of the show.
Yeah.
And Tony Cantwell, first time round. Second time round, I actually did this man's one with him.
Yes, yeah.
The Christmas one, we did a song that was like, it was based around the Grinch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We made an absolute synth pop banger out of it.
Yeah.
Along the lines of Bronski Beat.
Yeah.
as my friend Paul said, it's for a song that it did not need to go that hard.
No, and that's my favorite reaction from people when they say, it's actually a good song. Yeah. It's actually, I listen to it all the time. I get those kind of messages all the time. It's really funny.
Yeah. But the best thing about that is like nobody messes around. Everyone has their Everyone has their strengths, and then they have, like, obviously in the world that we're in, whether it be, you know, media, journalism, music, podcasting, comedy, whatever, it's a tight-knit circle of creative, so a lot of people know a lot of other people, and chances are, like, sure, like, we know each other, we've known each other for years.
Yeah, yeah.
I met Tony through working with Nilo and, like, stuff like that, so that's how I ended up getting asked to do the stuff.
Yeah.
So it's nice that like people in the music industry are being like kind of brought into that world for a little bit, because it's like completely different for someone like me who's focused on serious music the whole time. So when the stakes are so low, like I still have that level of competition that I want to bring, because I'm like, no, I don't want it to just be like a good comedy song or whatever, and not to be reductive by any means, but like I want it to be a good song. Anything else after that is fine, you know?
Yeah, because like last time we had, you were obviously on board, we also had Faye from Soda Blonde.
Faye from Soda Blonde wrote Hannah Mamas' song,
and she came second. And then her husband Fionn wrote Shane Dan Burns' song, and Shane's a wonderful singer, so
very very cinematic stuff from Shane,
really good stuff. And Cool Girl who was in, was it Bitch Falcon?
Lizzie,
she's great.
So she was a Bitch Falcon before she wrote Peter McGann's.
She's doing all three of Peter's.
Yeah, she has also won with Peter McGann.
I don't know, guys. This sounds like you're bringing in ringers. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
I've written all of mine, to be fair. And Adam has produced one.
But in fairness, it was just a little bit of polish on the top. It was all there already, you know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, it was. Yeah. You know, it's different. People want different things. I did Justine's and Tony's the last time. Yeah, it was great. Like, it's just, it's so much fun because everyone has such a different angle.
Yeah.
And because you kind of put the country element into it, because it is like based on the Eurovision.
Yeah.
There is like the national thing. People try and want to like put some form of identity on it as well.
Yeah.
So it's just like, there's a lot of spins and a lot of like fun ideas that people like me get to be a little bit looser and like have a lot more fun and be a bit frivolous with it.
But I think as a comedian as well, you have to wear a lot of different hats now. In like, you have to be an actor and you have to be a stand-up and you have to be a musician almost as well. So it's this kind of thing where we have access to all this technology and we're all like, right, how do I play with this in a really fun way? So I think that's the Bureau de Challenge as a result. It was such a good idea from Tony to get us all involved. And I think we're all kind of like, we're so competitive as well. Like Tony said, he was like, I have never been competitive at sports or good at sports, but I want to fucking win this. And then when he said that, everyone was like, right, I'm going all in. And even like the dressing room is actually kind of tense when you're there.
Yeah, I've been there. Because
we're all like, this is so important. It was so important to me. And I placed this time and it was the best moment of my life. So, and it was a song about fingering E.T. So
I know, Jesus, man. I said this to you the other day. I was like, really? I was like,
yeah.
It's a good song.
Good song's a good song. So
it's true.
Yeah. It was.
A great song is a great song, no matter what the subject matter is, who it's by, or where it came from.
Yes, yeah.
And it's true.
Well spoken, Dave.
It's true, too. Thank you. It's true, too, of a great podcast. And with the great guest this week in the form of Michael Fry, if you happen to be at the Edinburgh Fringe, go see his show with Cillian Sunderman.
Yes.
Go check him out on Spotify. Whatever else is coming up, of course, in the meantime, you're all over social media. And this week, you brought us on a journey, so thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Greatly appreciate it. Come back soon. We don't need a weird reference in the doll to get you back in. So
no.
But I kept that clip for 2 years. 2.5 years almost. Jesus. Yeah. Right, Sonic Arcade album, take us home.
I mean, it's a pleasure to be here, as always. It's like,
that's all I want
to
hear.
Do you know what? It's like, it's nice to have a different perspective on, because like, we are very into our music on this podcast, and it does get very, it can get quite muso-y at times, especially with people's specialist subjects.
Whoa.
I mean it in a good way. The journalist in you is great, because it's like, I learn so much every week, but like, it's really nice to like have something that, I mean, I think it's safe to say we know not very much about, myself and yourself.
Yeah.
Like get a bit of an education on something that's like a completely different part of the music world.
That is still
so unbelievably relevant and omnipresent. And
Yeah.
It's great.
We appreciate it, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks for taking me serious.
Always, man, always. All right. So that's the show for this week, everybody. It's patreon.com/NoEncore if you want to support the show. My name is Dave Hanratty. This has been No Encore. There will be No Encore. And we're back next week.
I'll be your dream, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy.
I'll be your hope, I'll be your love, be everything that you need.
I love you more with every breath, truly, madly, deeply do. I will be strong, I will be faithful, cause I'm counting on a new beginning, a reason for living.